message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you joined us again today, and we trust that our time together once again will prove a real help and blessing to you. As we look into the Word of God, we're going to go back to Romans chapter number 8. And as we began to talk last time about this passage that's been called a soft pillow of the Bible, Romans 8:28, where Paul says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And that verse of Scripture is a tremendous comfort to folks, you know, who have difficulties and problems. It's a verse that's often used to salve and to soothe difficult times. Dr. Henry Gruber used to call the verse the soft pillow of the Bible. That is, when there are difficulties and heartaches that come along, here's a place of comfort, a cushion of comfort to rest in. It's important to notice what the verse does not say. It didn't say that everything that comes in your life is going to be good. That if you love God and you're one of the called, one of the saved people, one of His family, there are two kind of people in the world, saved people, lost people. And it doesn't say that if you get saved, from then on, only good things come into your life. It didn't say that. It didn't say that everything that happens in your life is going to be good. You know, there's a great deal of misunderstanding and confusion about just what the believer's reaction, what you're supposed to expect in your life. There's a great deal of what is called health and wealth preaching today, where people are talking about, you know, do it again, God, perform the miracles again, and do this and do that and the next thing again. And that isn't God's way. God works through His Word. And the Word of God is the source of our understanding. And if we're going to understand a verse like Romans 8:28 and how to apply it in the details of our life, we're going to have to understand it based on what it says. Once you understand what it says, then you know how to see it confirmed in the experiences of your life. And a verse like Romans 8:28 is designed to be a great comfort and blessing if it's understood. Now, in our study last time, we looked and we saw some things about all things work together for good. What is the good that all things are working, that God's working all things together for? Well, the good is His purpose. And His purpose is identified in Romans 8:29, where He says, "For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." The good thing that God is working in all things is taking those circumstances and not working the circumstances, but rather working in us. Taking who we are and in whatever circumstances we're in, working His good purpose in us, which is to conform us to the image of His Son. Ultimately, God's purpose is for you and I, for you and me as believers, to share the glorification of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just pie in the sky by and by. That's life, eternal life, everlasting life, resurrection life, possessed right now. You know, when you come to understand that that the Word of God is complete and that the signs and wonders program that was in operation in the early part of the book of Acts is no longer in operation today, and God is no longer giving gifts and He's no longer giving that kind of a program, but there's something different going on today. Many people think, well, that means that the miraculous doesn't work anymore. And rather, that's far from the issue. It's just that it works differently. The way God works today is His Word resident in the inner man of believers. And that miracle working power of the Spirit of God works internally in the believer and out through us in time. All things work together for good to them that love God. The good is conforming us to the image of His Son. All things work together for good. All things work together. We need to understand not just what the good purpose is, but what the all things are and then how they work together. And again, That'll come from studying the Scripture. So we'll go over here to the lectern and we'll study the passage a little bit in detail here. You need to understand what the all things are, and then what the issue of them working together is. So let's look at the context. To understand what the all things are, you just go back in the passage, verse number 18. Just read down through, you know, all things that he's been talking about in the previous context. For example, verse number 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." The difficulties and problems of the nasty now and now are not worthy to be compared. They're not worth the time of even thinking about them in light of the glory that shall be revealed, the glorification that we're going to share with the Lord Jesus Christ, that good thing which God's working. There's a realm of doctrine and understanding in your mind that you place into your mind and into your thinking that gives you the capacity to evaluate the present suffering as something that is just unworthy to be compared with the glory. It gives you endurance. And just in case you don't understand what the present suffering is, he says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," that is, to wit, the redemption of our body. You see, the issue here has to do with the history of the Christian life. The Christian life begins when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you trust Him as your Savior, you're placed into the family of God. You become a member of the church, the body of Christ. When you trust Christ, you become a body member. You become part of Jesus Christ. You become identified with Him by God's grace. God has purpose to take this body of believers who've trusted His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, people who've gone to Calvary and trusted Him and been placed into oneness with Him. God's purpose is to take these people, give them a resurrection, glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, take us unto Himself, change our vile body like His, and then take us out into the heavenly places, and we're going to share in the glorification of Jesus Christ by subduing the government of the heavenly places. He's going to use us as a trophy and an instrument and a vehicle for the praise of His glory and all the ages to come. Now, that's the ages to come. Here is where we are now. From the time you trust Christ until death or the rapture, when you go out to be with the Lord, in here, in the what we can call the nasty now and now, all things work together for good. All what things? All of the things that are experienced in life. We live in a fallen creation. We live in a creation, verse number 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, is talking about us living in a creation that is cursed by sin. You live in a creation that is fallen, that is subject to the bondage of corruption, and you live in that creation as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He lives His life inside of you. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, but our flesh, our bodies haven't been saved yet. Our spirit is regenerated, our soul is redeemed, but our bodies haven't been redeemed yet. The redemption of your body, in verse 23, is the resurrection, is the time in which our bodies are resurrected and changed, made like unto His body. Until then, you live in a temple that is decaying, a temple that is kin to the creation around it. Your body is the vehicle in which your soul and spirit live. It is the vehicle that carries you about in your daily labor. You know you're not your body. You know, you know that without any even understanding the Word of God. My dad, before he went to be with the Lord, he was in his early 70s, and he was sick for a long time before he died. And he used to tell me, he said, "You know, I feel like a 20-year-old man in a 70-year-old body." And his mind, you know, it didn't compare to the 70 years that his body felt. You know, especially as you get older, that there's a different, that there's somebody inside of you that isn't, that's more than just that flesh and that body. And the infirmities of the flesh demonstrate that there's something of reality inside of you that's more than just the physical man. But this physical man, we live in this fallen creation. And Paul said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That is, we have an understanding of where our ultimate end is going to be that far outweighs any present suffering that we might go on. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to those, the good is sharing in His glory out there. All things, all of the things that happen in life. You know something, friends? When Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I'll read this passage to you. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the outward man perishes, it gets sick, it's weak. Shakespeare said, sleep, sleep, that gathers up the rival time, the rival sleep of time. My mind's gone. Sleep, sleep, that gathers up the rival sleeve of time. You know, the strongest among us have to sleep a third of the day or suffer dire consequences. There are studies out now about sleep deprivation, people going without the adequate amount of sleep, and all of the physiological and psychological and neurological ramifications of just going without sleep. We think we're strong. No, we're not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man of a saved person is renewed day by day. How? As the truth of who we are in Christ renews our inward man, makes him strong and new again. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We know that all things work together. To work means to be productive. Our light afflictions, the all things, which are but for a moment, compared to eternity, these things are real short. Now you know what happens? You know what trouble does with your perception? What do you say? When you're having fun, time what? It flies. But boy, when you're having problems, the old clock goes tick, talk, tick, talk. It just won't make it, you know. And time, what trouble does is makes it magnifies everything real big, and it makes the distance between the minutes seem like hours, and it makes things seem to go so slow. Trouble has this thing of magnifying things. Paul says, but wait a minute. If you've got doctrine in your soul, sound doctrine, truth, if you have in your inner man an understanding of who you are in Christ and what God's going to do with you out there and how that even the present sufferings work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, what does that mean? These things now work together for good. They work together to further conform you to the glory of His Son. To the image of His Son. They further allow you to mature and to grow into the likeness in the thinking and the acting of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the present sufferings work together. Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Compared to eternity, we see them as we have a realm of understanding about what God's doing that causes this to look so small compared to eternity. Light afflictions, which are but for a moment. Without the doctrine, without the proper doctrinal thinking patterns in your mind, they look like they're going to overwhelm you. But what the trouble does is it makes everything big. It takes the doctrine and it magnifies who you are in Christ in your understanding. And all of a sudden, all you see in the problem is the grace of God and the glory that He's working out there. All things work together. The all things are whatever happens in life. You see, it isn't necessary for God to go out and manipulate the circumstances of your life and fix it so only good things come into your life. There is nothing that can come into your life from whatever the source that can overcome you, that God doesn't then take and has equipped you internally to respond to those things in a way that those things then can build you up. All things that work together are working together in our lives to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're not to be frustrated, and we're not to be upset when some of these things are hard and difficult to understand and often contain death to self, death to what we can accomplish, when often they point out our failure, because what they do is demonstrate His faithfulness. All things work together. The working together has to do with the truth of who we are in Christ internally in us. Taking these circumstances. You see, the way God works is through His Word, resident in our heart. The circumstances you live in are not a means of God communicating truth to you. He isn't communicating His will to you through these things happening out here. Your feelings and your impressions are not the way God leads you to understand what He's doing. God communicates with us only through His Word. That's what His Word is. It is His Word, His speaking, His communication to us. I mean, that's almost so obvious on the face it's difficult to even imagine having to repeat it. And yet, most of religion is looking for God to talk to. Most people are just heathen in their approach. They're looking out at circumstances. What's God saying to them? What's God communicating? What's God doing? Here comes a storm. What's God saying? Well, you know, I heard a story the other day about a certain place in Florida that was struck by a hurricane. And then 2 years later, it was struck by another one. And somebody said the second hurricane was God speaking to this town in Florida, saying, 2 years ago, I told you to move. And that's funny. That's a joke. And that is funny, but that has nothing to do with truth. Because if God wants to speak, He speaks. His Word speaks, not circumstance. Circumstances are the context, the environment in which His Word resident in us, we go out and do His will. Our feelings and our impressions are just that. They just tell you how you feel about it. And they are really irrelevant to what truth is. They are to be the willing servants of your will and your intellect. And you are not designed to operate on the basis of your feelings. And if you let your feelings run your life and dethrone your will and dethrone your intellect, then your life is going to you're going to live your life under the tyranny of your emotions, and you're going to be a nervous wreck and an emotional wreck and a flop in life, because you were designed to function on the basis of an intellect and a clear, intelligent understanding of God's truth, and then your faith resting in it and responding intelligently to the revelation of what God has given you in His Word. Now, when He says all things work together, whatever the circumstances of life are, they work together for good. That is, God has equipped us, God has fixed us in such a way that the circumstances of life are made productive in our life by God equipping us to deal with them in a proper manner, so that we're built up and so that they develop inner strength. Romans chapter 5 tells you, sort of in an outline form, of how this works. Romans 5 verse 3. Paul said, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. We don't just have peace with God. We don't just rejoice in hope of the glory of God to come. We're not just looking out yonder. But right now, we rejoice in tribulation. Troubles come along, and instead of destroying us, we can say, well, praise God. These things will be means of growing and becoming stronger and being made more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand something. Trouble in the life of a believer, the justice of God has justified us through the finished work of Christ, and trouble in the life of the believer, whether it's sickness or difficulty or financial reversal or whatever, is not a sign of God's displeasure. It's not a sign of God trying to get even with you for your failure. It is rather the justice of God has made us complete and accepted in Christ, and now God is free to deal with us in a positive manner in order to build us up and to make us stronger and to take these things which before would have been negative and make positives out of them. Because of our justification, His justice is satisfied with the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. We are accepted in Christ. We are justified by faith. We have a stand, and now God is free to deal with us in a positive manner that is called grace. And that's what grace is all about. So, when the problems come, what do? Knowing. We know something. We understand something. We have a viewpoint based upon the doctrine of the Word of God. Knowing that tribulation works patience. Now, you want to follow this. Tribulation. Trouble. Works. Maybe I'll do it across the other way. Works patience. You see, tribulation, trouble comes. And instead of trouble destroying you, it begins to work. And when something works, that is, it becomes productive. You understand that many Christians, many sincere believers, many ministries are trying to destroy and fire the best workers you have? Why, there are people going along saying, you should never be sick, you should never have any financial reversals, you should never have any problems in life. God wants to take all the burdens away. You know, you'd never be able to grow if that was true. All these things that come into your life that God then takes and causes them to work for you, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, begin to develop some character in your soul, some patience, some peace under the pressure of problems, some ability to stay with the Word no matter what the difficulties are. Just stick by the Word, and by gaining patience, get experience. That's another word for that is skill. Become skillful in handling the problem. And you know what that does? That gives you hope. That gives you hope. Hey, when this problem comes, that's not going to destroy me. I know I've got some skill, some experience in handling the thing, and there's hope. There is victory. There is victory. He makes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You understand, what happens is that the trouble comes and it works patience. It works the ability to just stay with the truth and stay with who we are in Christ, and that gives us skill in handling the problems, and it gives us hope, and it demonstrates to us how much God values and esteems us. God's love for you today is not tied to your circumstances. It's not tied to your financial condition. It's not tied to your health or your wealth. It's not tied to your romantic life or your state of your marriage or how your children are turning out. It's tied to only one thing, and that's the cross work of Jesus Christ. The verse says in verse 8, God commends His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me use an illustration, sort of a personal one, but you'll understand it as I tell you. In my first pastorate, when I first started preaching as a pastor, I started a church, moved to a town, and began a ministry in an assembly, organized the church, and had it going. There was a couple came into our church, a lady with a number of children, and she's a wonderful Christian lady, just someone who was a blessing and a benediction. She had a drunkard husband, an unsaved man as a husband. He was an alcoholic, and she literally raised her family by herself. And she became very close to my wife and I as a young couple, just beginning out with just a small child. She was an older lady and had a lot of experience. One day she came and sat on the couch in my living room. And she said, Pastor, I just came from the doctor, and the doctor gave me the word, I have cancer, and I'm going to have surgery. Well, that's the first time I'd ever had to face that. I never knew Never had to face that, and I didn't know what to say. I knew what verses to quote, so I quoted the verses, and I went with her to the hospital and went through all of the things, and we'd pray. But I felt a total inadequacy in that. I didn't know what to do. Well, you know, I watched her, and through her strength, we went through that, and I began to grow. About, I guess 20 years later, my wife came home from the doctor one day, sat on the couch in very much the same situation, and she looked at me across the living room, and she says, the doctor says, it's cancer. 20 years had passed, or almost, in there. At the first one, I didn't know what to say. I didn't have any experience dealing with it. 20 years later, when my wife sat there and said, it's cancer, I knew some things. Tribulation had worked some patience, some peace under the pressure. And patience had worked some skill, and skill had given me hope. And when my wife said it, I knew. Not just the verses, but the reality of them. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has equipped us as believers to live for His glory, and the circumstances of life are just the context in which we go do that. And it's Christ's life living in us and His truth resident in us. And it's our faith walk of standing in the truth that gives the strength and the capacity to see the life of Jesus Christ lived through us just for His glory. I trust you know Him today, and that knowing Him, you get to know Him intimately through this book. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thanks, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled Pillow Talk. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with your free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen now. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 304. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that we will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best, until we meet again next time for another Message of Grace.